Then we shall be where we would be, then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. Well, you just got to think about it, what you just sang. So thank you, ladies, and I appreciate that. And thank you all for joining us in singing. I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And we're going to talk about truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. John chapter 17 and verse 11. John 17 and verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Notice that. We talked about that previously. How he keeps, he kept, he kept. We are kept by the power of God. This passage in 11 and 12 clearly says that. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's again look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray your blessing on this passage of Scripture as we open it, consider the truths here. I pray, Lord, you know, help our hearts to be open to receive what you have for us. May we be willing to obey you, do what we ought to do, be what we ought to be. We know we often fail, and we fall far, far short of what your expectation for us is. And we know we only can be what we ought to be by your grace. And so we give ourselves to you this morning, Lord. We pray that you will work in our hearts, have your way, change us, mold us, make us to be like you, Lord. Conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we battle sin, and many times we lose that battle, but by faith in Jesus Christ's blood, we can be victorious and triumph over sin and the flesh. But yet we know the battle rages on until that day we are in your presence, and we want to live for that day. We look forward to that day, and I pray for anyone here this morning who's not sure of their salvation, not sure that their sins are forgiven and that they're on their way to heaven, that they would have that assurance as a result of being here this morning, hearing your word, and responding to it. We know we can listen, we can hear, and the words can go in our ears and right out the door again. And I pray that wouldn't be the case this morning. Your word would find lodging in our heart, and I pray, Lord, you would be glorified, lifted up, exalted, for you and you alone are worthy. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come again to this most sacred of prayers. This is the real Lord's Prayer, where Jesus enters into the holy place as our great high priest, and he intercedes for me, for us, for you, and he prays for his disciples, and he prays for us, and he prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them. That's the prayer of Jesus for Terry Post. I really believe that. That's what he prays today. And he's at the right hand of the Father praying that very thing. He desires that God the Father would do his work of sanctification in my life of all things. I think, why me? Why bother with me? I don't know but God's love. I don't know but God's grace. I don't know but God's compassion, and I can enjoy them all through faith in him. Sanctify them, he says. That means set him apart. Make him holy. Make him to live like you, Father, to be like you, to be holy as God is holy. By the way, what do you call a holy man who works at McDonald's? You got it, a friar. For you that didn't get it, a friar is a Catholic monk. So that was bad. You got to do something good when you say something bad. Sanctify them. Back to our passage. Sanctify them through thy truth. And you know, only the truth can make one holy. There's no other way. That is the meaning of sanctify, to make holy, to set apart from sin. The means of sanctification is God's word. And only the word, only the Bible is truth. There is no other truth. God's word and truth are synonymous. Everything else is falsehood, deception, a lie. And Jesus was not just referring to his immediate words as he spoke. You that have the red letter edition, it's not just those red letters and sentences, it's the whole Bible. He was talking about the complete Bible, both Old and New Testament. In fact, the truth is that both the Old Testament and New Testament are the inspired Word of God. They were both written by God, the Holy Spirit, as he guided human beings, human men, to pen his Word. Now, how did God do that? Nobody knows. The smartest theologian in the universe does not know how God moved in men to cause them to write the very words of God in the Scripture, so that what we have in our possession is the Word of God, not the Word of men. We don't know how God did that, but he did. He did, and as a result, we have in our possession the very Word of God that came from the mouth of God, and yet he used men to write the Word and the words of our living God. They were his instruments, his pens, so to speak. And every word is of God. Every word is inspired or God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. And Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21 that holy men, and the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The men spake, the men wrote the Scripture as they were moved. That word moved, again, that's in 2 Peter 1:21. The men moved as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In fact, that same word is used in Paul when he's on the ship in Acts 27, and they have a shipwreck, and the ship was carried along by the wind. That's the same idea. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit when they wrote the Word of God. Therefore, we can know without a doubt, I have God's words. When I open my Bible in the morning and read, I'm reading what God said and what God is saying. And turn to 2 Samuel 23, if you would. 2 Samuel, that's in the Old Testament, and that's before Kings. So right before Kings, 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to look at verse 1. The psalmist of Israel gives one of the clearest expressions of a writer consciously claiming that what he is writing in God's word. And in 2 Samuel 23, he comments on the divine nature of the Psalms. This is also, is it Psalm 18? But The words came as a result of God's Spirit speaking through the psalmist. In 2 Samuel 23:1, now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So again, verse 2 is the inspiration of the Bible right there. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. So David is claiming inspiration, that what he writes is the very word of God. The bottom line is the word is truth. The word is truth. All of it. Every word of it. The Old Testament is truth. The New Testament is truth. Life and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is truth. It's truth. It really happened. It took place. Heaven is truth. But also that the devil is a real person is truth. That hell and the eternal fires of hell is truth. It's reality. It has happened, is happening, or will happen. Pilate said to Jesus, Jesus was brought before Pilate in John 18, and in verse 37, you can turn there if you like. I'd like to begin at verse 33. Look at John 18, and we'll begin at verse 33. Jesus being arraigned before Pilate, before he's judged to go to the cross. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Are you king? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. What is truth? That is a great question. Well, we know what is truth. God's word is truth. The words of Jesus are truth. We need the truth. You know, in this world, all we hear and experience are lies, constant lies. The Bible is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, in John 14:6. In John 8:32, we read, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 17:17, sanctify through them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, in truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And John 18:37, Pilate said, Are you king then? And Jesus said, Thou sayest I am king, this end was I born, for this cause I came in the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And finally, 1 John 3:18, My little children, let us not love neither in tongue, in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The truth, that's what we want. And that's what God has given us. And truth is, in fact, a verified or indisputable fact. We just believe, as Christians, the facts that are laid out in the Bible. Remember on Dragnet, Sergeant Joe Friday said, "All we want are the facts, ma'am. All we want are the facts. Just the facts, ma'am." That's what God wants, and that's what God gives us. We believe every answer to life and the truth on any topic is laid out in the Bible. Jesus was saying to us, it is an indisputable fact that I am the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's true. If it's true, what am I doing about it? It ought to change my life. And it does change our lives. And we give ourselves to Him who is the truth. Otherwise, we're living a lie. We're pretending. We're in la-la land, make-believe land. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have the truth. God's given us the truth. By the way, the truth is not what comes out of Washington, D.C. You don't get much truth out of our government. Here's a simple definition of what the truth is from a writer. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Truth is that which is consistent. It lines up with the mind of God, the will of God, the character of God, the glory of God, and the being of God. Truth is a self-expression of God. Truth is a self-expression of God. And that's the meaning of truth. And it's reality. It's the way things really are. Reality is what it is because God declared it so and made it so. Therefore, God is the author, source, determiner, governor, ultimate standard, and final judge of all truth. You get that? God is the author. He's the source. He's a determiner. He's a governor. He's the ultimate standard. And He's the final judge of all truth. And truth is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. He is truth. And of course, He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And there is no truth apart from Him. He is the source of truth. He is truth incarnate. He is expression of truth. He only speaks truth. He only practices truth. And there is no truth apart from Him. That's why you and I need Jesus Christ. Otherwise, our lives are a lie. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is a standard. And anyone trying to live their life apart from Christ is living a lie and is lost in darkness and deception of the lie of the devil. And he's the father of lies. Christ came into this world from outside this world. He humbled himself. He was born of a virgin. He lived a life of perfection as he lived his life with the cross before him. He died a cruel death at the hand of sinners like Pontius Pilate. And he was raised up from the dead. And by his resurrection, we are promised a like resurrection. And we too shall rise. We're going up. We are going up. Look in a, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. Well, actually, let's start at verse 17. That's a lot to read. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So those in the grave will follow. He is the first fruits, and His own will follow. And you and I will follow. That's truth. That's reality. That's not make-believe. That's not a fairy tale. That's reality. And to deny the resurrection from the dead is to believe a lie and live a lie. And for me to live my life as though Jesus Christ is not my Savior, as though Jesus Christ did not die for me, as though Jesus Christ is not my Lord, and as though Jesus Christ does not love me, then I'm living a lie. Truth is what is real. Jesus is real. His birth was real. His life was real. His death was real. His resurrection was real. And his promise to save any and all who call on his name is true. And it's as true can be. How do I know? Because he did it in my life. I had no idea how to get to heaven. I didn't know if there was a heaven. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I don't know if I could have told you what the Gospels were, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I remember turning a Bible I had. My grandma gave me a Bible for my eighth grade graduation. One time I opened it to Matthew and Mark and read a little bit, put it away, and never read it again until I got saved. And God saved me. Why? Because it was truth. I was living a lie. I was heading to hell. And truth came into my soul and changed me and made me his own. And that's true as true can be. And we don't need to live a lie. We live in a world of lies. And we shouldn't be surprised, you know. We think, man, it's a mess. Well, of course it's a mess. Because Satan is the prince and power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. And he will be until Jesus Christ comes again. So no wonder that we see the lies, the corruption, the wickedness throughout the world, throughout this country, even with our Christian heritage. We have traded that Christian foundation for a pot of worldly stew. And we've done it gladly, sad to say. The lies of this nation. President Ronald Reagan, boy, we sure miss him. President Ronald Reagan famously said, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Only Reagan can say something like that. The lies. The news isn't simply news anymore. It's opinion. And it's often a lie. Trump called it fake news. And he was ridiculed for that. And yet we realize he was right on target. He said it right. He got it right. It was fake news. And indeed it was and is. It's news with an agenda to move our country away from its biblical heritage. That's what's happening in our nation. We want to get rid of our history, rid of any Christian foundation we might have in our nation, and we have a lot. There is a lie that abortion is good, that abortion is good because it gives a woman freedom to choose. It's not murder, it's freedom. The freedom to commit a very heinous, bloody murder by ripping a baby apart limb by limb. And we approve. And we're just so proud of that as a nation. And we are supposed to be a civilized nation. And then there's the immoral lie that a person can be whatever sex they identify with. Well, I'm a woman, but I think I'll be a man. What do you say? Nonsense. Garbage. It's a lie. It's a lie. But when you reject the truth of God's word, that's where it leads. Truth is what we have and know through the truth of the scriptures. And that's what we need, the truth of Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's only begotten Son. Jesus Christ and God the Father are the source and the givers of truth. And they want you and me to have this truth, to live by and in this truth. And so Jesus prays, sanctify us through thy truth. He knows we need to be like him. He knows we need to be holy like him. We need to be we need to be made holy like him, and that can't happen apart from his truth. Sanctify means to set apart, and he would set us apart from the world to himself. He would set us apart from sin so that he can have us all to himself. And he wants all of you, all of you. This means, or the means of the sanctification, the means, the means of that sanctification is the truth, which we understand to be God's revealed word that is in the Old and New Testament, the word of the living God, the Bible. The Bible. Here it is, right here. Can you believe we have God's word? We have all of God's revealed word in our possession if we have a Bible. We should treasure it. We should treasure it and make use of it. We need our Bible. We absolutely cannot live a life pleasing to God without reading and living and loving the Bible. It's not enough to know about the Bible or about God, but to live it out day by day, to live it out every day. Jesus himself believed the Bible. He put a premium on the written word of God, for he saw the Old Testament scriptures as the word of God. He said in Matthew 22, verse 31, and he's quoting from Exodus 3, verse 6. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He was preaching the truth of the resurrection from the Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because Jesus himself believed his Old Testament was the very word of God. Jesus testified to his belief in the Old Testament characters of the Bible, such as Jonah. Jesus spoke of Jonah and Moses and Abel and Lot and Lot's wife. Why? Because he knew that they were real people. They were real people. He believed that he fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. During his earthly ministry, he viewed his own words as words from God. In John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. The word of God is from God that sent me into this world. And so he says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus was not speaking of only his immediate words that he was in speaking, again, the red letter edition, but all of the Bible. His revelation, his word, they were what he spoke was right up there with all of the Bible. And he would give them more revelation, and he would assign his disciples to record his revelation through the Holy Spirit. All of it, from Genesis to Revelation, is the word of God. You have in your possession the very word of the living God. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord means the word of the Lord is perfect. Your Bible is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endure forever. And again, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the positive side of the request from Jesus. The negative is in verse 15, but here's the positive. Not only will he keep them from the evil one, but also consecrate them in the truth. Keep them from one, from evil, and consecrate them to the other, truth, good, what is right. Set them apart. Make them holy in your truth. Father, set them apart for yourself in your truth so that they will live in line with your word in the heart and mind, in thought, in words and deeds, that they might live more and more in accordance, in line with the word of God and the law of God. We need to get in line, right? Get in line with the word of God. Sometimes the word of God is just straight ahead, straight up. and we start veering off over here, and then we veer off over here. What I like, what I feel like doing, what the world is offering me, and the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, have a strong attraction and pull us away. We need to keep our focus right, live according to God's word. Make them holy as God is holy, he says. The angels of Isaiah cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," in Isaiah chapter 6. The angels cry out these words unceasingly, and these words will ring through heaven throughout eternity, and we will cry out with them in perfect harmony. But today, we live it out. We're to live it out in our daily lives. We live. It's not so much what I say, it's how I live, what I do. Yes, we practice holy living, and no other living is accepted by God. No other living is acceptable to God for the believer who has been made holy. He made you holy, you have an obligation. You have the privilege of living for him, and to be holy as he is holy. Say, well, that's not for me. I don't know about this holy living stuff. Well, then don't call yourself a Christian. Don't make claims that you're going to heaven. Don't be deceived that you're going to heaven. And you don't want to have anything to do with being holy. And again, remember, holy isn't walking around like a friar, a monk, humming away, you know, being good for nothing. But it's just living a life that pleases God, that's set apart to God. The prophet Jeremiah, as well as Aaron and his sons, were all sanctified. They were set apart for their sacred duty, the proclaiming of God's word and offering sacrifices, and set apart for their sacred duty and reminding them that they belong to God. We see that in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, and Exodus 28, 41. And if one is set apart for God, which you and I are, then that person will do only what God wants. And we will love what God loves, and we will hate what God hates. That's what it means to be holy as God is holy, to be like God, to be like Jesus. And Jesus came to this world to reveal the Father to us. He hath declared him. He hath made him known, John 1, 18. So we'll love what God loves and hate what God hates. And that's what it means to be holy. But this sanctification can only happen if I want to be sanctified, if I'm wanting to be controlled and governed by the truth. I have a choice, and I got to make my choice, and I better make the right one, because I'll regret it eternally, if I mess up. Jesus is asking the Father that he might cause these men to love the word, to live according to the truth of God revealed in that word, which they had received from him and which he had received from the Father. And the Father, as requested by the Son, will use the truth to sanctify his followers. He will sanctify them by sending the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into all truth, John 15, 13. And so we must be sanctified. Again, set apart. Set apart. You see, before, you and I were falling apart. Now we're to be set apart. And that will not and cannot happen except we live in line with God's word and in conformity to the truth, the word of revelation. We've got to think God's thoughts after him. And I can do that. You can do that. If I get in his word, because in his word, that's where I find out what God's thoughts are. I got to think God's thoughts after him. We've got to be holy. We cannot be living for the world and at the same time live a life pleasing to the Father. Can't do both. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We have a mission. I'm so glad we do. We have a purpose. So many people live their lives, and it used to be me, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. I can't figure this out. What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? Why do I exist? We exist to serve Him. That's why. We have a mission. We are sent by Him. Verse 18 again, I have sent them into the world. Just as the Father has sent Jesus into the world with a message, so Jesus sent His disciples into the world with a message. And that message is the same, that of redemption in Jesus Christ. That's your message to give out. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You say, well, that's not for me. Then quit calling yourself a Christian. You see, we all have that mission. We all do. There's a purpose in our sanctification. We are sent by Jesus Himself into the world. And He will never send worldly people into the world. They are cleansed from sin. They are made holy. They are cleaned up and ready to testify of the grace of God. Not by their words only, but by their life on display for the world to see. So we have a mission. You say, well, that's for missionaries. No, no, that's for every Christian. We're all missionaries. You are as much of a missionary as any missionary serving overseas. Your calling is no different. They just happen to be called overseas to a foreign mission field. We're here in the United States of America right now, and that's where our calling is. But we have a mission. We have a mission. It's amazing. This world is wicked and hostile to God and to His followers, and it's going to be judged. And this world is being judged. It is headed for destruction. This world is going to be burned up. Burned up. That's why I don't want to have a lot of affection for something that's going to be burned up. And then it's going to be recreated. And there is no hope to save the planet. Like, well, we've got to save the planet. Yeah. How are you and I going to save the planet? That's so ridiculous. It's going to be burned up and recreated. There's no hope to save the planet. That in itself is hopeless. And yet, I also sent them into the world. Okay? I'm not sent to save the planet. I'm sent to save souls. You see? I'm sent into the world. God sends us right into the thick of battle. And we go with faith and courage and boldness. And we go right into the devil's den without fear, without anxiety, without hesitation. And we do what Paul admonished the Ephesians to do in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Put up or shut up. Put on. And we can do it. God is gracious. God enables us. God gives us grace and power, and I can do it by His grace. So God help us to be sanctified in His truth and to be declaring His truth to this lost world. As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent you. He sent you in the world. From this day forth, let's go forth for Him. Go talk to that neighbor, that friend, that co-worker. Be that example. Be that godly man and woman, young man, young woman that God wants you to be. You can by His grace. Our Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your word. Pray You'll bless it to our hearts and cause us to look up, to yield ourselves to You, to follow You, and to please You in what we do and in who we are. Have Your way now as we close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.